It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, everybody. Welcome into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network. As a Friday morning show. Normally, I think we're going to normally do Monday through Thursdays, but, you know, I had a couple of days off because of driving up from Las Vegas, and so we thought, big weekend ahead of us. Let's do a Friday edition of the barn. Why not? And we have a great show planned for you. We're going to be joined by Scott Shapiro a little bit later, who's a Southern California-based handicapper. He runs a site called ShapperToCapper.com, and you got to check that out because he does not just horse racing articles and news and picks and stuff like that. A lot of daily fantasy stuff, a lot of sports talk, and we'll talk with him about the big card coming up at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita, this Saturday. Should be a fantastic day of racing. And, you know, the race is for the three-year-olds. There's, you know, the big standout, Songbird, I think, is 1-5 going to be on the morning line. And More Spirit certainly will be a strong favorite. I think More Spirit won't be quite the same level of favorite as Songbird is. But nonetheless, still, you know, both those races are not in the pick six. And I think that's partly because a lot of people view them as a free square. Of course, the San Antonio coming up a little bit later in the card in which is a really good race. And so we'll talk all about the stakes races with Scott Shapiro a little bit later. We're also going to have the premier edition of the Bet America jury. There is a case on the docket about Dortmund. I played the Dortmund song parody yesterday to the Dion song. You know, has anybody here seen my old friend Dortmund? Yeah, you heard it. Obviously you heard it. And if you didn't, it'll be on YouTube probably tomorrow too. But we, Dortmund, you know, he worked out again, and Bob didn't like his workout again. And so I have assembled a jury of five peers from around the country and even up into Canada. And we are going to let them make a verdict, yes or no. Will Dortmund win another Grade 1 race? They'll give their votes and why they believe it, that yes, he will, or no, he won't. And so the first edition of the Bet America jury, if you have questions you want the jury to answer, or if you have comments on the show, guests you want to hear, any of that, email me, barn@betamerica.com. You can also find me on Twitter, @BeamyAwards. And we've gotten some really nice notes today. Yesterday was our most listened to show. And so it makes me extremely, extremely happy that folks are catching on to the program and finding ways to listen. And offering feedback, it makes it a lot cooler for me knowing that folks are out there listening and enjoying the program. It makes me want to do more fun stuff, and we will certainly be doing that in the coming days, weeks, and months here in the barn as part of the Bet America Radio Network. Don't forget to go to betamerica.com tonight and play in that Horse Player World Series qualifier. Earlier in the week, we were joined by Kevin Perreault, who's now a two-time qualifier for that Horse Player World Series tournament. After going to the NHC, now I really want to go to the Horse Player World Series. And so I'm thinking about like taking a month and going to Vegas, which is a really, really great idea for somebody like me who, you know, has a bad gambling problem. But I love the town, and I love, you know, being out, not on the strip, but out in the actual town. And so I thought, you know, maybe it'd be fun to like just do a month on the road, go down and get some sunshine. My best buddy down there is a golf caddy. I talked about him on a couple of shows ago. So we can go play golf a lot of days. It could be fun. I might do that. But then I could also be there for the Horse Player World Series. So it could be a working vacation. I don't know. It's kind of in pencil right now, but I'm thinking about it. Because this Airbnb, I don't know if you guys have used that before, but like you can get a place for like a month. Down there, a lot of the houses have casitas, which I'm a huge fan of the casita. It's like a little house right like on the property there, and you can rent it out. It's awesome. But I don't know. I'm getting ahead of myself. But again, we got the Bet America jury coming up here in a couple of minutes. Scott Shapiro going to join us after that to talk about the big card coming up at Santa Anita tomorrow. And one of the things that a lot of folks were buzzing about on Thursday is the races from Dubai. We had Mubtahij running. He's obviously prepping for one of the big Dubai World Cup races, as well as Frosted, who won round two of the Mock Tomb Challenge. And was actually really impressive doing it. He sat a real nice, perfect trip, you know, just sat second early on behind a horse, came right to him at the top of the stretch, and then spurted clear. And I don't think, you know, dominating wins was kind of Frosted's mentality. He's a little bit more of a grinder type. And, you know, he gave American Pharoah a real nice run, the Travers, before, you know, giving it in and softening it up for Key Nice. But Frosted turned some heads today. I saw a few people who were like, ah, you know, who'd he beat? I think I even said that, but it was a joke. but I tell you what, the Dubai World Cup is so much more monumentally interesting for me when there's U.S. horses in. And, you know, does that make me a xenophobe? Probably. But I'm just, you know, I'm more interested when there's horses I know and connections I know. Kieran McLaughlin was over there for the race, and you know, he obviously has a long history in Dubai, and it was pretty cool to hear him talking about, you know, being over there with that horse. And it was interesting. He kind of quietly mentioned, you know, oh, I got this nice horse, Mo Heyman, a 3-year-old back in America. And all I was thinking of was like, yeah, you got yourself a nice 3-year-old back in America. But he looked pretty tickled to be there. I think it's, you know, Dubai for him is like, you know, going to Emerald for me or something like that, because it's sometimes home or those places that you spend a lot of your formative years become very, very special places. And I have no doubt that that's the case with Kieran McLaughlin and Maidan, even though he left before Maidan was Maidan. What was it? Nat Al-Sheba, that was the other one. But Frosted with a big run. Mubtahij, not so big of a run. And so he got his trainer, Mike Dukakis, even tweeted out he was mad about Mubtahij getting some quote-unquote haters on Twitter. But if you lose a horse race, you're going to get haters. That's just kind of how it goes. And he's kind of a horse who's been, you know, he's had a lot of attention in his career because of running in the Triple Crown and races and never really doing much in that instance. And so a lot of people know him. And he was kind of a lot of people's wise guy horse because he was coming over for Dubai for the Kentucky Derby and then for the Belmont Stakes, trying to break up American Pharoah's Triple Crown run. But so Mubtahij was taking a little bit of heat today, but he'll be fine and he'll live to run another day. But those Dubai races Thursday, they make for a fun Thursday morning because there's always really good racing. Terry Spargo, the announcer there, I know a lot of people don't care about announcers, but I do, obviously, is so phenomenally good. I mean, just, he's got a cool voice. He used some words today. I'd never heard the phrases, but Peter Berry, the announcer at Mountaineer and Buffalo Raceway, assured me that they were, you know, commonly used phrases. But Terry's awesome. You know, the jockeys over there are fantastic. It's just a really, really cool racing product. And I encourage everybody to watch and wager on it. You can, of course, watch and wager on it at betamerica.com. We do a lot of really cool stuff for the Dubai races in the morning. So check out our Twitter feed at BetAmerica. And check out some of the stuff we do with Dubai. So, again, we're going to be joined by Scott Shapiro coming up a little bit later. And going to be talking all about the Santa Anita big day tomorrow. Numerous stakes and a numerous Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks ramifications. The West Coast horses have been doing really well in those races as of late. And so certainly take a look at those with him, as well as the San Antonio. And we're going to head out to a break right now. When we come back, court will be in session. The Bet America jury is next.
Hello, this is Kayla Stratt, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
All right, welcome back into the Barn, the Bet America Radio Network, and we're always so thankful when you listen to our program. Again, new shows posted pretty much every weekday morning when I can get to it. But, of course, you can always find us at betamerica.com/extra, or you can just Google search Bet America Radio Network, or you can find me on Twitter at Beamy Awards, or at Bet America, of course, also our Twitter site. But it's time now for a new segment, and it's the Bet America jury. So let me just say that court is now in session. That's right. We're in the Bet America jury, where the jury of five will decide whether or not Dortmund, who was expected to be one of the top older horses this year, will ever win another Grade 1 race. He's missed two straight races he was pointing for. And now, again, a workout this week. Bob Baffert said he didn't like it, so he's not going in this week. So we will now bring in our jurors and decide if Dortmund will ever win another Grade 1 race. All right, so the Bet America jury is set and ready to go. We're going to welcome in our first juror representing Southern California and the Raider Nation, Raider Mike. Raider Mike, the question posed to you and the other jurors after the recent events and missing a couple of intended starts, will Dortmund ever win another Grade 1 race?
Jason, absolutely yes. Dortmund is undefeated in Southern California, and his only losses in general were against American Pharoah, who we all know who he is. I love that in his last two starts in the Big Bear and the Native Diver, he's shown that he can sit off horses again, and he's not just, you know, dead set on wiring the field. I think California Chrome going out to Dubai, you know, is going to open up the big cap field. You know, there's nothing in Southern California. When you look at horses like Imperative, Opportunity, Smooth Roller, Hard Aces, you know, Texas Red, you know, those aren't win machines. Those horses aren't as good as Dortmund. You know, as long as a freak like FNX doesn't come out west, you know, Dortmund should win at least one more Grade 1 this year.
All right, so that's one yes vote as we get started. And so you think he'll take the big cap?
As long as FNX doesn't show up, he's going to roll.
And FNX obviously being the top older horse in the country right now?
Absolutely. Yeah, no one's coming close to FNX. He's just got the heart of a champion.
All right, Raider Mike, our first juror voting that yes, indeed, Dortmund will get his Grade 1 win. All right, now for our next juror, we're going to go up to the Great White North to Sam the Syrup Man. Sam, after skipping his last two potential starts, will Dortmund ever win another Grade 1?
Listen here, Jason. From my vantage point, I'm going to have to say no. We're looking at a trainer and a horse that keep on ducking competition time after time. They keep using the foot problems as an excuse, but we know what the real excuse is. He just can't compete. Baffert is going to find a spot for this horse where he's going to try and look like he's, you know, something special, like his compadre Bairn. But we all saw what happened with that horse. One-dimensional, faded away into nothing. And I have a feeling we're going to see the same type of thing here with Dortmund.
All right, so Sam, our Canadian representative on the jury, says no, Dortmund will not win another Grade 1. All right, so that's one vote apiece, one yes and one no on whether or not Dortmund will win a Grade 1 race. Let's go now to our next juror. All right, now we're going to go over to our next juror, a Southern California resident. It's Evil Seabass. Evil Seabass, the question posed to you, after all this recent drama with Dortmund, will he ever win another Grade 1 race?
Of course he will, Jason. I mean, we're talking about a colt that just a year ago we're thinking, man, this guy can win the Derby. And now we're here, he's 4 years old. Let's not get ahead of ourselves now. He's by Big Brown. He's going to have bad feet. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about he's missed, what, two, three races? All right, let's go through them. He skipped the Malibu, a Grade 1 against champion sprinter Run Happy. I duck him too. He goes in to the next race to San Antonio. He skips that, allegedly. Look, no one wants to see Chrome right now. We know exactly what he's going to do. Why run that one? And then he's going against glorified allowance types this Saturday. Just skip that one too. He's still on track for the big cap. And if he's not, then so be it. But, you know, championships aren't run right now in Grade 2s in February. They're not. He gets to the big cap, fine. If not, then we wait. We see him in the Gold Cup. He goes Gold Cup, Pacific Classic, Goodwood, and the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's four Grade 1s in the season. You're looking at Horse of the Year.
All right, so Evil Seabass, a vote that, yes, Dortmund will win another Grade 1. All right, and we move on to our next juror. We are going to go east of the Mississippi and welcome in someone who's joining us from the top of a racetrack somewhere in the Midwest, the Equibay. Equibay, I got to pose the question to you. We've heard now from three other guys. Dortmund's had a little bit of a funny period here. He's missed a couple of races he was supposed to go in. Will Dortmund win another Grade 1 race?
Dortmund can win another Grade 1 race. Thing is, he's never going to run in another Grade 1 race.
So you're voting no?
I am voting no.
So that is going to lock up our jury right now at two apiece. And so we will go to our final juror who is coming up next. So Equibay, you don't think he's, do you think he's retired?
No, I think he'll say he'll run in the grade ones, but he won't. He'll run in, like, listed stakes and grade twos and stuff.
Like the Big Bear stakes?
Yeah, pretty much. Or I think his ultimate goal is probably just going to be the Long Acres Mile.
Which is most of our ultimate goal.
At the end of the day, definitely.
All right. Well, Equibay, your vote is in. We appreciate it. And we're going to move on to our next juror. So our final juror, we go over to the Eastern Seaport and welcome in. This will be the tiebreaker because it's right now 2-2. Two yes and two no. So we do want to welcome in Ahmed from New Jersey.
First of all, Jason, thank you for having Ahmed on your program. I'm very excited to be here and to talk about Dortmund. If there's one thing we know about Dortmund, it's that he is not as fast as American Pharoah. We proved that last year, twice. That being said, there is no more American Pharoah running. Therefore, Dortmund will indeed win another Grade 1 race.
So there we have it, Ahmed voting that indeed Dortmund will win another Grade 1 race. So the jury finds 3-2 that Dortmund will indeed win another Grade 1 race. And could that be the Santa Anita Handicap coming up in next month? It could be. Could be later down the road. But the jury has spoken. The sentence is out. And the barn jury is now adjourned. So we're going to head out to a timeout. And when we come back, we're going to talk about racing at Santa Anita with handicapper Scott Shapiro on the other side of this break. It's the Bet America Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive 100% bonus on your first deposit. Up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, back here on the Bet America Radio Network, and we are pleased to go out to beautiful Southern California, which wasn't so beautiful when I was down there on Sunday, and welcome in a Southern California-based handicapper. You can check out his website, Shapper Da Capper, that's shapperdacapper.com, or find his work at Horse Racing Nation, where he does Southern California handicapping. Scott Shapiro. Scott, how are you?
Doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. I went to Santa Anita. I was all excited. I was in Vegas for the NHC, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go over to Santa Anita for a day. And I show up Sunday, and it just dumped all day.
Yeah, that was one of the uglier days that I've been out here about, I guess, 8 or 9 months now, and that was the bottom 3 or 4 day of the full 9 or 10 months. Yeah, I didn't even head up there. It was so ugly.
Yeah, I know you, you had relocated. You were a Colorado guy. Is that right?
Yeah, I was in Colorado for the previous 3 years. I've lived in several locations of late. But, yeah, I lived in Denver when I started in this business, if you will, and made it out to here about 9 months ago, I think it is now.
Did you just move out here for Santa Anita, or did you have other stuff going on?
You know what? I got my master's at San Diego State back in 2004 to 2006. So I knew I wanted to come back out here, but, yeah, the racing industry drove me to, you know, one of a couple locations, and knowing how much I love California, I figured this was the right one.
Well, you're probably going to love the fact that there's a huge day of racing coming up on Saturday in California. We want to handicap a little bit and talk about some of these big stakes races. One of the things we just talked about with the Bet America jury was about Dortmund, and, you know, they were planning to have him go this week in the San Antonio, and another work that was kind of quote-unquote subpar and another delayed entry for him. What do you make about the Dortmund situation right now?
Yeah, it's disappointing, you know, in a way. It definitely made the race a little more tricky to handicap, as he probably would have been a heavy favorite. But in terms of his health, it's just got to wonder. He was off for a while. He's running a few races. He's had the quarter crack. And just got to wonder if we're ever going to see him at full strength again.
Yeah, the older horse with you know, Chrome going to Dubai, and the older thing is kind of wide open right now for somebody to jump in and take the lead. We'll talk about that more when we get to the San Antonio, but we'll start early on in the card, the three-year-old races, which, of course, everybody's going to be paying a lot of attention to. The Bob Lewis Stakes, a grade three for three-year-olds, and we see the return of Moore Spirit, who was a nice winner in the Los Alamitos Futurity, and figures to probably be the favorite in here, but I don't think he's nearly the layover that, you know, the horse in the next race we're going to be talking about is.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think he might be overbetted, in fact. There's plenty of hype on this horse, and the Los Alamitos Futurity win was nice, but I really wonder what he beat in that field. And there's a couple question marks. I mean, they're going to try to relax him. I know Baffert has mentioned a few times that he needs to time his run right, and that's really what they're working on. But they could relax, you know, in this track, sometimes relaxing him too much might not be a wise idea.
Yeah, I thought the horse that he beat last time is a good horse, the Taves on Ice, but I think he's a horse that's probably going to be a little bit better cutting back and sprinting than he is, you know, going the two turns.
Yeah, absolutely. Taves on Ice looks like a sprinter to me. Didn't perform very well in Arkansas. And, I think you hit it on the head. He's a nice horse, but looks like he's a one-turn animal.
You know, these races often, the three-year-old races, are, you know, they come down to the Bafferts and the Hollendorfers and the O'Neill. And Hollendorfer's got a nice horse down toward the inside that's a perfect two-for-two right now, just barely won optional claiming. And now, you know, stretches out and tries stakes competition for the first time. You know, horses like this, it seems like a lot of people hype on him and get on him, but it really is a big jump in class he's taken with the I Will Score.
Yeah, absolutely. Big jump in class, not only the level of animals, but to be able to take it from 6.5 to a mile and a 16th. And yeah, he was all out in that race to beat Rockin' Bayou and then Uncle Lino, who's also in this race. But he's been training well. I know the dam has a lot of routing in her pedigree and whatnot, but I have my questions. If this horse gets pressed at all, I would think it's going to be a very tough task to pull off.
One horse that looks like a stone-cold closer is the one horse, Let's Meet in Rio, but you see Judmont Farms and Bob Baffert, pretty regal connections, and you're probably going to get a square price. What did you make of the Sham Stakes and his second-place effort in that race?
Yeah, I mean, this horse is actually the horse that I would think is probably the best value in the race, and a horse that I think is going to keep improving with further distances. The Sham was pretty impressive. I mean, I question that group as far as the rest of the field being able to get that mile, but he was running on well late, and I definitely think this horse is going to continue to improve. My only question with him is you know, this track seems to be playing speed favoring just about every day, and will there be enough pace for him to run him down? But I like this horse.
Scott Shapiro from Shapper to Capper joining us, talking about the races coming up at Santa Anita tomorrow on the Saturday card. And Dresden Hermes, another horse I wanted to ask you about, because the question is the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. When they tried the dirt, it was a sprint race back in July at Del Mar, and kind of ran kind of evenly in a race that it was won by Exaggerator. And then he seemed to really take to the turf well, including a solid effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf where he got a perfect trip. Bayerano gets on this horse, which is interesting, but to me this horse just seems to be probably potentially a cut below and definitely a turf horse. I think they might just be taking a stab here and hoping that, you know, things could work out in the dirt, you know, because that's where the riches are for a three-year-old.
Any other horses in the Bob Lewis that intrigue you, like Uncle Lino or Path of David or any of them?
Well, I mean, I think Uncle Lino is interesting only because I think he's going to have a big say in how the race unfolds. I don't necessarily like the horse to win the race, but if this horse decides to press I Will Score, which I don't know if he's fast enough to do, I think it'll not only set things up for more spirit, who should get a great trip, but also Let's Meet in Rio and maybe even Path of David. But if Uncle Lino and Leoben sit off of I Will Score, then it could be 1-2 all the way around the track with the two favorites.
Yeah, Leoben or Lauben or whatever the old graded stakes placed maiden, and I'll never the horse is obviously a few lengths behind the top ones in the last race. I just don't get why they don't want to get a victory and pick up 30 or 40 grand in a maiden special way with a horse like this.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. I mean, that was a nice run at Los, Alamitos when Let's Meet in Rio beat him when he blew the 5-length lead. But, yeah, this horse is outclassed. But, you know, I guess to each their own.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't your and my money that they're spending on vet bills. But the race after that is, you know, I think obviously everybody is going to be talking about and focused on Songbird. Made 1-5 in the morning line, and, she's been incredible as a two-year-old. But, I'm always one who, you know, I've seen a lot of really good two-year-old fillies that became very average three-year-old fillies.
Yeah, I agree. On paper and, you know, seeing this horse in the mornings and everything, it looks like Thornbirch to tower over this field, but certainly won't be my money at 1-5, you know. I mean, everything, you know, the pace scenario, everything on paper does look to be to her advantage in this race. And the fillies, you know, the other fillies appear to be a cut below, but still, I just can't imagine taking that price and being happy to do so.
I've seen a few people on the interwebs debating and upset that she's not, you know, quote unquote, being pointed for the Kentucky Derby. I don't think they would ever start her against the boys' first start as a 3-year-old. So, I mean, you know, maybe if she crushes here, they do try a points race for the boys. But Hollendorfer doesn't seem like the type that would want to do that. And I'm sure the Fox Hill folks are a little cautious, too.
Yeah, the Fox Hill folks are definitely cautious. And I think they're pretty much, you know, getting a Kentucky Oaks win is more prestigious to Connections than people are making out. And I think it's just being realistic. I know this horse has looked like the goods from the get-go, but like you said, things change quickly at 3, and I think they'll be more than happy to kind of run the table and get to the Kentucky Oaks and win that race. I mean, I know I would be.
What do you do you give anybody else in here a shot as a challenger for Songbird? Or I mean, certainly Street Fancy is maybe the one that catches the eye with the Grade 1 win.
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed somewhat with that win, but I definitely thought horses were stopping as much as Street Fancy was running in the Starlet at Los Alamitos. I've heard the horse is working real well. I think she's definitely a cut below if Songbird runs her race.
Yeah.
Landover sees a horse that I've liked, but I think that horse, I think she'll need one. I'm interested for second in this race if Songbird is the goods. Number one, she's a warrior. It's another maiden facing graded stakes company. But Jurgen really brings his horses along pretty slowly, and this horse has run well from the get-go. And I just think this horse could be sitting on a good one, coming in off a nice foundation and a real solid work. So, you know, having her beat Songbird, if Songbird runs a race, is kind of ludicrous. But I definitely expect she's a warrior to run better than maybe others might think.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I love that debut just behind Street Fancy and was gaining on Street Fancy, in those final yards and only got beat a half length. And, we do see Mario go, to the Doug O'Neill horses. That's his guy. But Flavian Pratt has been a guy. We actually had him on the show a couple weeks ago. But he's kind of become one of the talks of Southern California riders.
Yeah, I've got a pretty much of a man crush on the way he rides, to be dead honest.
We can edit that part out, Scott.
Santiago Gonzalez and Flavian Pratt to me are day in and day out the guys riding, you know, that are impressing me the most. Obviously, Bayerano, you know, is the leading rider and does his thing, but Flavian is really, he's impressive, and what's more impressive is he's come back from that horrible spill and kind of picked things up pretty quickly. So, you know, I wouldn't make too much of the rider change because, like you said, Mario has to ride pretty much for the Redham. So, you know, nothing against Mario. He's ridden great, but I think you get a little bit of an upgrade with Pratt, and it's not like, you know, Mario Gutierrez opted off this horse.
Yeah. Scott Shapiro joining us from Shapper to Capper and Horse Racing Nation, one of the Southern California handicappers for the HRN. And Scott, let's skip ahead to the San Antonio Stakes, a Grade 2. Obviously, race maybe lost a little of its luster if without Dortmund coming in it. But, I think it's a lot of older horses who are hard knockers. And I think this is actually just a good opportunity for any of these guys to jump up and get a big win.
Yeah, exactly. It's disappointing for the fans and, you know, for the big names for Dortmund not to be in the race. But what it did do is open this thing up to make it a better wagering race for the handicappers. And like you said, it's pretty wide open, I think.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked that John White has Imperative as the 5-2 morning line favorite. He's a horse that hasn't won, you know, since Obama's first term, it seems like. And, I can't, you know, is it maybe that he's like one of the fewer options? I just can't imagine him going off his favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, I think this horse has run well of late, and he's run into, you know, California Chrome and
Dortmund.
Yeah. And Beholder, and, you know, he's faced the best and run on late, but, you know, I'm like you, these horses forget how to win almost, and I mean, I don't know when, I can't even find the last time he won outside of the state of West Virginia or even you know, I mean, which is a whole other ball game. So, yeah, I can't see him going off the favorite, but I do respect him. And Richard Baltus has really improved this gelding.
We talked about Flavian Pratt a little bit ago, and he gets the mount on Hopportunity. And Hopportunity is a horse who, you know, has gone off in the 2-1s, I think, in 6 of his last 7 starts and hasn't won any of those races. So he's a horse that takes – he never takes a ton of money, but, he's always one of the ones. And just doesn't seem to win a whole lot. But his numbers and everything make him a huge contender in here.
Yeah, and I think in the end he's going to, if I had to wager on who would be the favorite,
yeah,
I would have to think that this horse will be the favorite.
I agree.
Baffert generally takes the money. You got all the triple-digit buyer speed figures staring you at the face if you're reading off of the Daily Racing form. His, Sheets numbers are probably going to be the most consistent. I haven't looked at them yet. But, the horse is not for me for the reason that he seems to run his race every time, but yet he doesn't really like to run by horses in the final stride. So, I don't know. I wouldn't take him at a short price, but I think the public will lean on him.
One horse I think is a little bit interesting is down on the rail, Cat Burglar, coming off a pretty solid win over Cyrus Alexander, who's also in this race. It was an allowance optional claiming event. But this is a horse who's grade 2 placed. And, it seems like once in a while he runs his race, he gets Bayerano Baffert, so he probably will be a little bit overbet. But I thought he was a little bit of an interesting look in here.
Yeah, he ran on well, him and Cyrus Alexander in that optional claimer. They kind of ran on pretty well. They aren't two horses that I really liked a whole lot going into that race. It was a 5-horse field. But it's the same connections as More Spirit, so they're looking to have a big day. Michael Lund Peterson, I believe he started one of the big music companies.
He needs the money then.
Yeah, he's got none. He's really struggling for funds, No, he's quite low to that man. The horse is it's horse for the course. He's never been worse than second at Santa Anita. A mile and an eighth, in a way, might be too short for him, but he ran pretty well in a mile last time.
What about Hard Aces? He, he's been a bomb in his last few and hasn't really done a whole lot, but he's been keeping pretty tough company. And I think people still see, and me included, still see that grade one win and think, maybe he can come back to that level.
Yeah, I liked him that day, and then I kind of stuck with him one time too many. I used him in the Pacific Classic, I believe it was. He needs a hot pace, and I just don't know if I see that hot pace in this one. I'm not so sure. I mean, he really has not shown very much at all in these last few races. It's hard for me to think that he's in form. But like you said, he has faced good company, and if for some reason they go fast up front, he will be running late, I would think. I just don't really see the pace scenario to his liking.
What do you make of El Kabir?
Yeah, El Kabir is interesting to me. I think the outside draw, the stretch out, I haven't ever really been on this horse. He's taken a lot of money in some of these races.
Yeah.
But that last race was just, he's not going to be able to run with Run Happy early and even marking it, at 7 furlongs. But he's been working up a storm. I like the outside draw. I think he's going to sit a really good trip. I mean, the question is he good enough and is a mile and an eighth to his liking? But he's pretty intriguing to me. I mean, looking at this group, I looked long and hard at him and Donworth because they're kind of the new shooters, if you will, mm-hmm. which is a term I don't really like to use, but it is what it is. And I just used it. So.
Yeah. But all know what you're talking about. So,
exactly.
It has some worth.
But, but of the two, I think Donworth will take more money, and I just, the long layoff, with motion is definitely concerning. So I just like the trip that El Kabir is going to get, and there should be a little bit of value there. So, he's the horse that I'm considering wagering on if the odds are right.
Well, we might have to see how your morning line expertise is because they're both 6-1 on the line. And so I know one thing at Santa
Anita. Are they?
Yeah. And so I know Santa Anita, they love to do late morning lines if there's a scratch. And so I was actually.
Yeah, I didn't.
I was teasing.
Yeah, I didn't see him. I'm sorry.
I was teasing Frank about that. Well, I think they actually just updated him here a little bit ago because earlier when I was looking, they weren't on there, and I updated my online PPs, and they popped up this time, so they must have just come out here recently. But I was giving Frank grief because he was reading off all the the new morning lines because John White loves to do new morning lines every time there's a scratch, and I think it's it drives announcers nuts to have to read off a bunch of extra stuff.
Yeah, I really thought Don horse, maybe everyone's seeing what I'm seeing with the layoff line, but I know that horse is taking a ton of money and, you know, back in his three-year-old campaign, and I remember, you know, a couple of interesting rides from Nazario on that horse, and I was expecting him to be lower on the morning line, but perhaps I definitely was off on the morning line, but we'll see how it goes.
That's why it'll be fun to see. Well, the other one, and Cyrus Alexander was also 6-1. He put three horses at 6-1: Donworth, El Kabir, and Cyrus Alexander. So after those top three, he kind of left it wide open for the next three. But it'll be an intriguing race because, there's just no standout in a handicapping way. It's almost kind of a war of attrition.
Absolutely. That's kind of how I came up with El Kabir, almost by eliminating horses more so than loving him, you know, but which is always not ideal. I saw Cyrus Alexander schooling today, and I mean, I can see why that horse went for $1.7 million. What a beautiful horse, but he certainly has not run to that $1.7 million yet, but maybe he will on Saturday.
The last of the big stakes is the San Marcos, the Grade 2. And I love a lot of these Southern California grass races like this because, you know, either the mile races or the longer routes like this, they always seem to me, at least, to where, you know, you can take some really good stabs in races like this at some price horses.
Absolutely. These are the best. You know, as fun as the big dirt races are, you know, the grade ones and stuff, these grade two, grade three, sometimes the restricted turf races, either down the hill or going the distance of ground, are the best betting races in Santa Anita and, you know, in Del Mar, too. They're super fun.
Yeah, we see Flamboyant was a winner of a grade two last time, and the San Gabriel Stakes. And so, you know, he was a big bomb that day, but I think people will see that speed figure and a win in a grade two and maybe give him a little respect. But, they got him at 4-1 on the line, and I guess, you know, he makes sense as one of the top choices.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, I think, especially when you breeze over the field, I think that 105 buyer just, you know, stares the average handicapper down.
Yeah.
And plus the 2-for-6 over Santa Anita. But I was saying, you know, someone today, I mean, he was 46-1 for a reason in that race.
Well, yeah, prior to that, he hadn't, I mean, he missed by a nose, you know, two starts back. But prior to that, he'd been getting, you know, pretty well thumped. I mean, he made $8,000 in all of 2015.
Yeah, I can't see him replicating that effort. Now, I don't know if he'll need to run quite that well to win this race. I think I have to think he probably has to run close to that to win this. But yeah, I'm seeing a regression for Flamboyant in this one.
Who are some horses you like in the San Marcos?
Well, I think I'm going to take, like you said, it's good races to take, you know, stabs, if you will. And I think number 9 Abbeville is interesting. I watching that last race. It looked to me like a prep. They didn't really rush. They didn't really use him that hard, and he ran on real well. And Hey Dude, the other D'Amato runner, is, I believe, the 5-2 morning line favorite, was loose on the lead and pretty much had things his way that day. But I think Abbeville wants to go a little bit further, has run well over this course, should sit a good trip. I expect him to be a little closer up than he was in that race, and hopefully he can get the jump on some of the true late runners and, you know, I think he's 8-1 on the morning line. So he's my top pick.
There's a couple horses coming out of the Hollywood Turf Cup, which, of course, is won by the Pizza Man. And they're both pretty big odds here, Powerfoot and Southern Freedom. You know, obviously the Pizza Man, you know, a pretty higher upper echelon turf runner. And, you know, neither one of these horses was disgraced by him. Do you think they'll get play off of that effort?
Yeah, they might. I mean, the issue with, Powerfoot, I mean, Drysdale is 0-15 on the meet, and his horses haven't been taking a lot of money. But I think he makes a ton of sense, especially underneath in the exotics. He's 6-11 in the money at Santa Anita. The distance isn't a question. Should get a pretty good trip. You know, he's not drawn too far to the outside for a horse that likes to save some ground and run on late. So I think he's got a shot. Southern Freedom, to me, might just be a little cut below. And I'm not sure he's going to have things loose on the lead like he probably needs to be at his best in a race like this.
One interesting thing on Southern Freedom, totally unrelated to handicapping. I don't know what it says in your form or what you use. I use Brisnet PPs, and it says the owner is Dang Mark Di Domenico. You know?
Yeah, mine says that in the Daily Racing Form as well. What is up with that?
Yeah, because Mark DiDomenico, you know, he's his own thing, but I'd never heard of Mark DiDomenico.
I don't know why that is interesting. I've never noticed that before, too. I've always seen, like you said, the Mark DiDomenico, LLC, or Tadere.
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe the D is for Dang. Because you're right. It does say Mark. Yeah, who knows? But and then Todaro, I mean, George Todaro, he's a regular Hollendorfer guy. But yeah,
definitely.
I just had never seen Dang Mark. Because he's a doctor too, so I've seen it where it says Dr. Mark DiDomenico, but never Dang. Something to look for.
Yeah, interesting.
when you go to Santa Anita, try to find out, Scott. Come on. All right, man. Well, Scott, I really appreciate your time, and folks again can check you out at shapperdecapper.com and horseracingnation.com. What's your Twitter handle, Scott?
My Twitter handle is ScottShap34, ScottShap34.
And you're big on the fantasy sports. You talk a lot about that stuff.
Yeah, I am. I've been playing fantasy football and baseball since I was like 12 years old. I remember buying the book and, you know, doing all the calculations manually by hand and running leagues and stuff. And it's kind of interesting to see, you know, how popular it's gotten, and just been kind of shocked by the way, you know, it's one thing these companies have kind of dug their own graves, but the games, it's just so much fun that it's a shame that it's kind of getting the bad press that it is.
I was I played fantasy football for like 2 years, and I was the guy who would buy the one magazine about a day before the draft, and then I would just essentially pick whoever was the highest on the list that was available, and then inevitably would always finish mid-pack.
Yeah, I mean, following some of the experts' leads can't be too bad. I mean, now the magazines come out so early, but that used to be the way to do it, you know, other than there's just so much information out there now compared to back then. Yep. It sounds like it was, you know, a little bit ago, the way your statement.
Yeah, we're talking late 90s, early 00s.
Yeah, that's when it was, you know, fun.
This is when Marshall Faulk was the guy that you wanted at the top of your draft.
Marshall Faulk, his first year on the Rams, my best fantasy team ever. Oh my gosh, he was a star.
I just remember when we were picking for the draft, everybody was just saying, "Okay, this is the Marshall Faulk drawing. Whoever gets first gets Marshall Faulk."
Yeah, so. He was some player, man.
And then gone like 4 years later.
Yeah, that's what happens with these running backs. That's the thing, you know. You join these dynasty leagues now that they have, and you got to take the receivers first because the running backs. The turnover so quick, they just take such a beating.
Oh, I mean, we were talking in Seattle here about Marshawn Lynch. Like, you know, he was just a dominant force at 2 years ago, and now he's, you know, he still could be, I guess. But, like, it has that feeling that he's going to kind of wither out here pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, he actually made it longer than a lot of them. They've been expecting him in the fantasy world to, you know, they do these calculations on how many touches, you know, you can take basically, and then before you're going to start regressing, he's kind of outlived some of those, you know, but it looks like he might be coming to the downside of his career for sure.
All right, Scott, well, I really appreciate your time, and best of luck at the races on Saturday at Santa Anita. We'll catch up with you again sometime soon.
Thanks for having me, Jason. It's been fun.
All right, Scott Shapiro. I keep wanting to call you Scott Shapper.
That's all right.
Scott Shapiro joining us on the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, my thanks to Scott Shapiro for joining us to talk about the races at Santa Anita coming up tomorrow. A big weekend of racing between the Don Handicap card at Gulfstream, Louisiana premiere night over at Delta Downs, and, of course, the big card at Santa Anita. Also, my thanks to our panel of jurors for the Bet America jury, and my thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. Don't forget to email the show barn@betamerica.com, or you can find me on Twitter @BeamyAwards. Always those are the two best places to get a hold of me. But I hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. We'll be right back here with you on Monday at the Bet America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us in the barn.